Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, continuing this study in this Gospel. I'm going to read the verses 1 through 20. We considered the verses 1 through 12 this morning, this evening. By the help of God, we'll be considering the verses 13 through 16. But we will read together again verses 1 through 12 and then through to the verse 16. This is God's word. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this be, to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will be rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hear the one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Amen. We trust the Lord's blessing for the reading of his word. There's a pronouncement of woe upon two cities. There's a cause of woe outlined, and there's the end of the woe declared. There's a pronouncement of woe. This is a statement from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a statement of vengeance, but it's a pronouncement of divine judgment. And when we come into the territory of divine judgment expressed from the lips of Jesus, it calls for our attention. We should always give our attention to the reading and the hearing and the preaching of God's word. There is nothing more important in the life of a human being than to hear what their Creator would say to them. For the one who is not a believer in Jesus Christ, it is an absolute necessity to hear the word of God. For it is in the hearing of the word of God that there is life. through the conviction of sin. For those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an absolute necessity to hear the word of God, that which would take us away from God day and daily may be addressed, and that we would be drawn in to that deeper relationship with Him that we so desperately need every day of our lives. Having said that, when a woe comes, when a declaration, a pronouncement of judgment is declared, then we should look to that and ask the question, could that be addressed to me? Does the woe in any way encompass my life, my behavior, my attitudes, my thoughts, my deeds, my words? This is not something to be received lightly. This is not something to be considered without thought. There's a lot of information that flows through our ears and through our minds on a day-to-day basis. There's news, there's the radio. There's all sorts of chitter-chatter that we hear in our workplace. And we rightly obscure a lot of it because we can't take it in. A lot of it's absolute nonsense and triviality. This word to us tonight is no word of nonsense or triviality. It demands our attention and our full attention at that. This meek and mild Jesus, this Jesus that our culture says loves everybody, this Jesus that wouldn't harm a dove, this Jesus is the one who utters these words of woe. He does so as the holy, just judge of all creation. And when Jesus declared these words of woe, He did so with a holy authority that demanded the attention of those who were hearing Him speak. The pronouncement of woe. The cities of woe. There are two named, Chorazin and Bethsaida. It's the only time in the New Testament scriptures where the city of Chorazin is mentioned. It was situated geographically on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida was not far from it. It is mentioned, and you'll find Bethsaida mentioned two or three times in the New Testament, and it was the birthplace of Andrew, Peter, and Philip, three of the apostles. In a sense, it's strange reading about these two towns, because we read that Jesus says that mighty works were done in them. Mighty works were done in these two cities. And yet, what we know about Jesus working in these two cities is very, very limited. And surely that tells us something about how little we actually know about the Word of God or about what Jesus actually did during His life. If I was to ask you tonight to write down on a page of paper all that you know about Jesus' miraculous works and His teaching, how much do you think you could actually write? If you were actually to sit with a pen and paper and put down the cities where Jesus visited, the miracles that He did, the words that He spoke, how far down the page would you get? And yet, what we know about the ministry of Jesus is only a small portion of all that he did, because he tells us here that he did mighty works in both Chorazin and Bethsaida, and we're told nothing about what he did in Chorazin, and we know only a little about what he did in Bethsaida. So here is Jesus working and laboring and doing mighty events and mighty feats in these cities, and we know nothing of them. Nothing of them. Which tells us something of the extensiveness of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. What we do know is that Jesus worked in these cities. That he ministered in these cities. In fact, he did an awful lot of work in these cities. These were the cities where Jesus had spent most of the previous 3 years in this region ministering. They would have witnessed the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would have heard the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would have been exposed to the call of Christ to repent and believe and walk in the ways of righteousness. These people living in these cities, they knew Jesus. They didn't just know about Jesus, they knew Jesus. If you'd have asked people in these cities to have pointed Jesus out in the crowd, they would have known who Jesus was. If you'd have asked people living in these cities, can you tell us something about what Jesus has done in your community? Oh, they would tell you what Jesus had done. In fact, they may be able to point even people in the community that he'd healed. They would tell you about what he had taught and what he had said. Jesus was a familiar figure in these communities. Some of us, or some of you, have heard you say on occasions, it would have been great to have lived in the time of Jesus. It would have been great to have lived where he lived. It would have been great to have known Jesus. There's a sense of vitality about the thought of actually being where Jesus was. That's why many people today go to the land of Israel. Maybe one day some of us we'll be able to go there together, and that will be a good thing. That will be a good thing. But here were people who actually had that opportunity. Here were people who actually witnessed the mighty works that Jesus did. Here were people who a day and daily were in a situation where they knew and heard Jesus, whether passing through, but he was certainly in that region. Why does Jesus pronounce woe upon Chorazin and Bethsaida? It's because of their failure. It's because of their failure to repent and believe in him. They had heard about him. They had heard him. They had seen him. But they didn't believe in him. Jesus then mentions another two cities. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the Old Testament. To Isaiah chapter 23. And I'm going to read two passages from the Word of God in the Old Testament. They are reasonably long. I want you, as it were, to relax and to follow along and think about what God is saying to these two cities. Isaiah chapter 23. The oracle concerning Tyre. Wheel, O ships of Tarsus, for Tyre is laid waste, without house or harbour. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them. Be still, O inhabitants of the coast, the merchants of Sidon, who cross the sea, have filled you. And on many waters your revenue was the grain of Sihor, the harvest of the Nile. You were the merchant of the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither labored nor given birth, I have neither reared young men nor brought up young women. When the report comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish over the report about Tyre. Cross over to Tarsus. Wheel, O inhabitants of the coast. Is this your exultant city, whose origins is from days of old, whose feet carried her to settle far away? Who has purposed this against Tyre? The bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth. The Lord of hosts has purposed it to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. Cross over your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarsus. There is no restraint anymore. He has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has shaken the kingdoms. The Lord has given command concerning Canaan to destroy its strongholds. And he said, you will no more exult, O oppressed virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise, cross over to Cyprus. Even there you will have no rest. Behold the land of the Chaldeans. This is the people that was not. Assyria distended it for wild beasts. They erected their siege towers. They stripped her palaces bare. They made her a ruin. Wheel, O ships of Tarsus, for your stronghold is laid waste. In that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, like the days of one king. At the end of the 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the prostitute. Take a harp, go about the city, O forgotten prostitute, make sweet melody, sing many songs that you may be remembered. And at the end of the 70 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will return to her wages and will prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. Her merchandise and her wages will be holy to the Lord. It will not be stored or hoarded, but her merchandise will supply abundant food and fine clothing for those who dwell before the Lord. Tyre and Sidon, two vast commercial centers, two great city-states, two cosmopolitan centers on the coast of the Mediterranean. Traders from the earth honored her. She made kings and princes of nations. These were vast metropolises. These were cities that dominated the whole eastern seaboard of that region. And here God, through Isaiah, is saying, I'm going to lay waste to you, Tyre and Sidon, for your absolute and utter rebellion against my ways. Who has purposed this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth? The Lord of hosts has purposed it to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. And he says to them, run, run if you want to Egypt, run if you want to Cyprus, but you will not escape my judgment. And it wasn't just through Isaiah that the Lord brought a declaration of condemnation in Tyre and Sidon. If you turn to Ezekiel, a few books on, Ezekiel chapter 26. In Ezekiel chapter 26, there's a prophecy that is brought by Ezekiel from the Lord. If you look at verse 15, Thus says the Lord God to Tyre, will not the coastland shake at the sound of your fall, when the wind had grown, when slaughter is made in your midst? Then all the princes of the sea will step down from their thrones and remove their robes and strip off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground and tremble every moment and be appalled at you, this mighty city. And here the Lord is saying, I am going to bring such absolute devastation upon this city that all the princes of the world will take off their clothes for fear and trembling at the sight of what God has done. Verse 17, they will raise a lamentation over you and say to you, how you have perished. You were inhabited from the seas, O city renowned, who was mighty in the sea. She and her inhabitants imposed their terror on all her inhabitants. She and her inhabitants imposed their terror on all the inhabitants of the sea. Now the coastlines tremble on the day of your fall, and the coastlines that are on the sea are dismayed at your passing. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a city laid waste, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I bring up the deep over you and the great waters over you, then I will make you go down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you to dwell in the world below, among ruins of the old, and those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited. But I will set my beauty in the land of the living. I will bring you to a dreadful end, and you shall be no more. Though you sought for, you will never be found again, declares the Lord God. You will never be found again. And the lament goes on in chapter 27. The statements of what God is going to do. And there's a prophecy against the prince of Tyre in verse chapter 28. And a lament over the king of Tyre. And then we turn at the end of chapter 28 to the prophecy against Sidon. Verse 20. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face towards Sidon and prophesy against her and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Sidon, and I will manifest my glory in your midst. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I execute judgments on her and manifest my holiness in her. For I will send pestilence into her and blood into her streets, and the slain shall fall in her midst by the sword that is against her on every side. Then they will know that I am the Lord. And the house of Israel there shall be no more a briar, a prick, or a thorn to hurt them among all their neighbors who treated them with contempt. Then they will know that I am the Lord God. There's a statement of intent. There's a declaration of war from the Lord of hosts against these two mighty cities. You think that your merchant trading on the seas, you think that your ability to establish kings and princes, you think that you can be honored among all the nations of the world, you think that your wealth can buy you peace and prosperity, you think that you're untouchable, you think that you have no hope of ever facing any destruction. God says to Tyre and Sidon, you do not have a hope. For I am going to destroy you for your evil ways and your rebellion against me. And here is Jesus as he's turned his face to Jerusalem, and he's spent many days and weeks and months doing mighty deeds and preaching around Galilee. And people have sat and they've listened. And they've been amazed. They've been astonished. They've participated in some of the miracles. And Jesus looks at them and says to them, woe to you. Woe to you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. For you heard the truth and you would not repent. You would not believe the word of the living God from the lips of the living God. You received it. You heard it. You talked about it. You said how good it was. You may have even said how challenging it was, how interesting, how stimulating. But you would not repent and you would not believe. And he says, if what I had done in Chorazin and Bethsaida had been done in Tyre and Sidon, those great metropolises of wickedness, they would have repented long ago. And they would be sitting in sackcloth and ashes. They would be sitting in sackcloth and ashes. If I'd done what I'd done in your cities, in their cities. Those cities that Isaiah prophesied against, those cities that Ezekiel proclaimed against, those cities that were destroyed and then raised up again, those cities who had no desire for the things of God, those cities who extolled themselves as bastions against the God of Israel. He said, if I'd have gone into their cities and I'd walked among their streets, their lives would have been changed. Is that not a sobering thought this evening? That in this land, where there's been so much preaching of the Word of God, this land which covenanted itself to God 350 years ago, what will Christ say of this land? When you think of those lands in the Far East and those millions and tens of millions of people who have lived their lives and never once heard the name of Jesus mentioned. Millions and millions and tens of millions of people in the world who have never ever heard the name of Jesus, let alone heard a sermon preached about Jesus, let alone having one page of the Word of God in their own tongue. Does that not say something to us tonight about this land where people come, the few come, and the many have had opportunity, and Jesus has come and he's walked our streets. You go into our large cities, you go into Glasgow, you go into Edinburgh, and many of the streets. What's the largest building you see on the street? It's the church. And there is a building that was filled with hundreds of people, and the word of God was being preached and taught 150 years ago. Churches were filled with people going to hear the word of God preached. And Jesus walked among the streets through his word and through the works that he was doing. And yet all those who heard, and yet they would not repent. They would not bend the knee. They would not turn and confess their sin. No, they would hear it. No, they would respond to it. No, they would have their view on it. They would have their say. They would make comment on what the minister had to say. But as to the actual words of Jesus Christ, I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. It'll be more bearable in the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum. Capernaum was where Jesus lived. Capernaum was where Jesus walked about and left every day of his ministry. He left from Capernaum. They saw him go. Will you be exalted to heaven? I'm sure everybody in Capernaum thought, Jesus is in our midst. We're guaranteed heaven. You shall be brought down to Hades. This is astonishing. This is absolutely astonishing. These men and women would sit and hear this and think, did he actually say about Chorazin and Bethsaida that it would be more bearable for them or for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than Chorazin and Bethsaida? Did he actually say, did he say that Capernaum shall be brought down to hell? Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Is that what he said? That Capernaum will be brought down to hell. How many in our land who think that they live in the land of the promise of the word, who are anticipating to go into the presence of the Lord, will in reality descend into a lost eternity? And those who have never heard, those who have never heard, their experience of hell will be more bearable than those who have sat and listened and not paid attention, not listened to Christ, but allowed their minds and their hearts to wander and to engage in some form of routine religion. The one who hears me, the one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. See the personal element of it? He is sending these 70 out. And he says, whenever they reject you, they're not rejecting you. When they speak ill of you, they're not speaking ill of you. When they refuse you entry into their home, when they will not listen to the honesty of your heart, when they will not listen with integrity what you have to say, don't take it that they're rejecting you. For what they're doing is they're rejecting me because you go in my name. You don't walk in your own authority. You don't walk with your own perspective. You don't walk with your own sense of importance. You are walking in my name. I have called you, I have appointed you, I am sending you out. And wherever you go in my name. And wherever you go, I will protect you. And wherever you go, I will provide for you. And wherever you will do it in my name. And if they will not hear what you have to say, you have got to know, he says to these 70 men, they are not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And if they reject me, they're rejecting my Father in heaven. And dear help any individual who rejects the Father in heaven. For who is the Father in heaven? The Father in heaven is one who says to the mighty cities of Tyre and Sidon, you can have all the wealth you want. You can have all the power you want. You can have all the outward signs of material prosperity you want. You can place as many crowns in the nations as you want. You can bring princes to you and you can send them out and they can be princes. But he says, I am the living God and I will deal with you. I will deal with you. The Lord of hosts has purposed it to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. Jesus says, when they reject you, they reject me. And when they reject me, they reject the Lord of hosts. They reject the Lord of hosts. Woe to any who have received the word and have not repented and believed. For it will be more bearable for those who have never heard and lived their lives in great evil than it will be for them. For in hearing the word and rejecting the word, they're rejecting the word who is Christ, and rejecting the one who is Christ, they are rejecting the Father who sent him. And a word to close. Does this not tonight call forth great thanksgiving from our souls that God has caused many of us to truly repent and believe? That we will not be caught up in those who will be cast into that place of outer darkness. That God has not only allowed us to hear the truth, but he has opened our ears to believe the truth. Tonight, is that not a phenomenal blessing? Is that not an astonishing thing? That he's not only brought us in his providence to be brought up on a land where the word is preached, and he's not only brought us to a place where the word of God is preached, but he's brought us to that place by the work of the Spirit where we hear the word of God as it is the word of God, and we have received and believed it as the word of God. And we sit and we hear this tonight, and our reaction is not, how stupid were they? How stupid were they that they wouldn't listen? How stupid were they? Our reaction is, thank you, God, that you didn't lay your hand of judgment upon us, but rather you were merciful and gracious. That you caused us to repent and believe. You caused us to hear by the work of your Spirit and to believe. When many hear the word and reject, how blessed we are tonight. How blessed we are tonight in Christ Jesus, that we will not be separated from him for all eternity, but that we will be with him in heaven by faith. Amen.